Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Konstantinos Lazarakis. How are you?
Good. Great to be in Olympia this year.
Excellent. We're at the London International, or London Wine Fair these days, isn't it?
Yes.
Excellent. Now, you're an expert on Greece, so what we want to do today is talk about Greece and some of the wine regions in Greece.
That's why I'm here for, actually.
Yeah, you've just done a presentation on Greece. Sadly, I missed it. I was running late, got caught up in tubes and trains and everything. I really planned on attending, but sorry about that.
No worries.
Let's start off, though. I know you're quite pressed for time, and I want to get as much out of you as I can. Sorry, because Greece is one of those areas.
Fantastic.
I used to think I struggled with Italy, but now Italy is nothing compared to Greece.
Yeah, well, it's a bit of a struggle, but then this is what we're trying to do, to help people understand in Greece, because Greek wines are great, but they do need some form of introduction, some form of developing proper stance against them. I think Greek wines are amazing, and I do invite people to taste as many Greek wines as possible.
Yeah, they're not that easy to get hold of in the UK, though. When I've been doing the WC Level 3 and we've needed to supply Greek wines, good quality Greek wines aren't exactly available on the high street very often, are they?
Yeah, but then to some degree that becomes to be their main advantage. So there are more esoteric craft wines that you have to go to the proper points to buy them, rather than dropping off to your local supermarket. Regardless whether UK possibly has some of the best supermarket wine ranges in the world.
Okay, let's just talk a wee bit about Greece in general. There's around 200 indigenous grape varieties in Greece, that's an awful lot for a small country.
Yes, one of the most important advantages of Greek wines is the array of autochthonous grape varieties. We actually come up with new grape varieties almost every year, because we are rediscovering the old vineyard up there with a grape variety that no one heard of, or maybe an old guy knows the name. So we are still discovering ourselves in many ways. We have now about 200 grape varieties being identified. There are people that claim this number could go up to 600, so very close.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah, so very close to the number of indigenous grape varieties present in Italy,
yeah.
But at a far lower acreage. However, you have to keep in mind that in terms of being present in the market, then we are talking at the moment with about 50 grape varieties. But every year we have at least one new grape variety being introduced in the marketplace by someone who is producing some monovarietal wines.
I noticed the wines that you were showing in your presentation, one of them was a blend of the Greek variety Exinomerov and Syrah and Merlot. Are there many international grape varieties in Greece?
Yeah, you have to keep in mind that Greek people do enjoy drinking Greek wine. We are consuming about 95% of the wine we are producing. And Greek wine consumers might enjoy our Xinomavro and our Assyrtiko, but then they can be quite fascinated by the flavors and aromas of grapes like Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay, Syrah, Merlot. And because these Greek consumers are the Greek wine producers' main customers, then, of course, as you can imagine, Greek producers do want to have a closer look on the international varieties as well. Then there are people claiming that, you know, Greek wine is not an easy sell. So if you're having the strategy of developing your Greek wine sales with using just autochthonous grape varieties, to some markets, possibly like UK, it might be very difficult. But then in other places, like, for example, the States, it's a whole situation, a whole different situation. So a sommelier in New York saying, like, hey, do you like Syrah and Merlot? Yep, I like. Well, we have a great Greek wine based on Merlot and Syrah. And also there is another grape variety that's local, and it's called Xinomavro. So to some markets, the international grapes are a way of allowing people to be initially introduced to Greek wines in a slightly more
softer way.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk a wee bit about the PDOs, or the old appellation controles. What do you call them in Greece?
Okay, we have been doing some big changes along the EU reform of appellations. So now we do have effectively two tiers of appellation wines. At the top, we have the PDO. Actually, we call them POP.
POP, I like that. I can pronounce
POP.
It.
Yes, it's POP. So PDO in Greek is POP, and it's Prostatevomeni Onomasia Proelefseos. In the old days, the POP wines were split in two subcategories, what we called the OPAP and OPE. So the OPAP and OPE wines were merged in the POP category.
Okay.
And then we have the regional wines, what in France used to be called Vin de Pays.
Yep.
And these are now called PGI. Mm-hmm. In Greece, we call them PIE. And PIE stands for Prostatevomeni Geographiki Endixi.
Excellent, excellent. And that's where the likes of things like Retsina, which is a... in the UK, it's got a bad reputation of people drinking it on holiday. It's the wine with the pine resin in it, isn't it?
Yes, Retsina is the wine with the pine resin. Unfortunately, most of the people coming down to Greece are treated with the bad Retsina. And people are making bad Retsina by taking bad wine and adding really bad pine resin in.
Yeah.
If you taste good Retsina, and believe me, there are things like good Retsina where you have a lovely wine and then you send that lovely wine with top quality pine resin, then you get wines that are true Retsinas but are just lovely drinks.
Really? Because I've only had a wee bit of Retsina and I wasn't impressed with it, but is it more likely I'm just trying really cheap stuff that's not really...
Yeah, I totally agree. And then when I'm talking to non-Greek people about Retsina, and these are people that love wine, I do draw the analogy with Fino Sherry.
Yep.
Most standard wine drinkers would be scared away by the taste of a Fino Sherry.
Yep.
It's a highly individual style,
yep,
really powerful, with flavors into your face. But it's all about food and wine. Mm-hmm. It's all about being able to sit down in front of 20 different tapas, every single one of them being really flavorful and really intense. So the only way you could enjoy these small bites of food is having a wine with enough power to clean your palate from your previous bite and allow you to enjoy your next bite. This is exactly how Retsina works, and Retsina can be a great wine.
So you would say it's more of a food wine as opposed to a drinking wine?
Yes, yes, of course.
Okay. And what are the grape varieties in Retsina?
Well, the main grape varieties used in Retsina is Roditis and Savatiano.
Yep.
Actually, Savatiano has a bad name, mainly because of it being used to produce bad quality Retsina.
Okay. So,
but then, believe me, there are people now taking a closer look to Savatiano, and they're making not just great Retsinas, but they make great dry and raisinated wines. I recently had a 12-year-old Savatiano that was given to me blind, and I was thinking I was tasting a 10-year-old Burgundy or whatever.
Oh, really?
It was a lovely wine.
And is it Retsinas grown all throughout Greece?
There are places that are more famous for their Retsinas than others. The general area of Athens, what we call Attica, and also northern Greece are really big in Retsinas. A lot of people in the sort of middle, lower classes are still enjoying their pint of Retsina with lunch or even pre-lunch as an aperitif. But Retsina slowly declines. I would be very surprised if my son generation will be drinking Retsina apart from the occasional...
Yeah, family traditional thing. Yeah, exactly. All right, well, let's talk about some of the main regions and their grape varieties then, because that seems to be where Greece is trying to strive forward, or internationally, particularly with WSD. They seem to be pushing certain regions and styles.
What took place in 2008 and until 2010 was a big strategic plan that everyone in the world of Greek wine tried to develop. So we came up with the fact that maybe Greek wine world was far too complex for the average wine drinker. So we decided to initially focus on four main regions that also are using single varietals,
yep,
and promote them as their our initial Greek wine proposal, to trying to get a clearer message. And this is reflected by the new WSET material.
Okay.
So the idea is that if you want to know Greek wine, then you do go for these four regions that are relatively easy to understand. They're really distinct in terms of style. And if you feel like doing a bit more work on Greek wine, then there are, you know, 196 more grape varieties to discover and a handful and a mouthful of other wine appellations.
Well, let's start off with the first one. You said it was Nelsa.
Okay, we have two red wine appellations and two white appellations.
Well, that's a nice way of splitting it out, red and white.
Yep.
Okay.
So we start with the red, and the first one is Nausa. And Nausa appellation is up in the north, very close to the city of Thessaloniki, and the area of the general area is called Macedonia. Nausa has to be 100% Xinomavro in order to be called Pop Nausa.
Yep.
Xinomavro, what we call the Nebbiolo of Greece. So it's high. It's what we. It's not related to Nebbiolo, but the style is very close. So it's high acid, high tannin, low color, turning into brown very fast, quite vegetal, rose petally plus a bit of dried tomato, sun-dried tomato aromas and flavors. It's an aggressive wine to start with,
yep,
as all great Barolos and Barbarescos are, but the complexity is amazing, the individuality is amazing. Again, a lovely food wine. No one would drink Barolo or Barbaresco as an aperitif to draw the analogy again.
The tannins were quite drying, I found.
Yes, you know, yes, you know, yes.
Like, you get tannins, and then you get drying tannins, and I found them quite drying. And that's the wine I tried with a blend of Syrah and Merlot as well. Is that right?
Yep, but the aging ability also is phenomenal. You can have Nausas from the 60s being fantastic still, but it is a lovely wine. It is a lovely wine. The second red wine appellation is Nemea. Now we're going south, we're going to Peloponnese. Peloponnese is that technically an island, which is the southernmost tip of mainland Greece.
Is it not connected? Is it an island? Or
yes, it is connected, but there is a fjord underneath, so you can go over the bridge. You cannot walk if you don't go over the bridge, although this is an artificial canal. So the Nemea appellation is also about red wine, and the grape variety there is Agiorgitico. It's St. George's grape, so some people were thinking about whether we should stop calling it Agiorgitico and call it St. George's grape, but then we were not very happy about that. And Agiorgitico is to the other extreme when you compare it with Xinomavro. So if Xinomavro is a diva that is quite aggressive and quite austere and needs a lot of background understanding to enjoy the wine, Agiorgitico is on the other end. Agiorgitico is soft, fruity, rich, velvety. It's a wine that everyone who enjoys red wine would be loving it.
It sounds like a bit more like a Merlot-y style.
Yes, yes. Although a lot of people, because this has quite high acidity as well, lot of people are saying that Agiorgitico is something like Gamay on steroids.
Okay.
So you have the charming character of Gamay, but still you have the power, you do have body, you do have richness.
Okay, and I noticed that the vineyards here are still quite high altitude. Greece is quite a hot country, isn't it? Altitude gives you a bit of coolness. Is that an important factor for Greece vineyards?
Yeah, I mean, Greece is not a hot country.
It's not.
If you exclude the obvious places with a lovely tourist resorts, then there are places in Greece that are closer to Bordeaux than your average holiday resort in Crete. But also, what is very important is that if you have your own grape varieties, then the concept of coolness of climate becomes far more varietal specific. So, for example, what is a cool climate? I mean, Northern Rhone is very warm for Riesling.
Yep.
It's very cold for Grenache. Yeah. So is Northern Rhone cool or warm climate? So talking about the climate of a wine producing area without stating which the grape variety is, then it's nonsense. So I would urge anyone who thinks that Greece is too hot for producing fine wine to go and check Nemea during the harvest. In Nemea, people struggle to get Agiorgitico properly ripe in at least 5 or 6 vintages a decade. So this is cool climate, if you ask me.
Okay, and I suppose the latitude, it starts at up in the mountains. It's with Nausa, it's near 40 degrees latitude, isn't it?
Yep.
And so it's right in the middle of that 30-50 band.
Yes, but it's all very complex and it's very exciting, if you ask me. So let's say in Nausa, you might not have huge problems, huge differences with in terms of latitude, but then you have all these different complex soils that make the style of this village completely different to the style of the other village. And you're going to Nemea, where you have the lowest vineyard starting from 200 meters altitude, and you have people now planting at over 1 kilometer high in
altitude. Yeah, that's quite, it's like Mendoza, isn't it?
Yep,
it's crazy heights.
It's very, very different, and it's exciting. I mean, you can dedicate your whole life into trying to understand one specific appellation in Greece and still not able to grasp the full potential.
Let's move on to the white varieties.
Okay, the most famous appellation in white wine, if not, well, I would argue the most important and famous appellation in all colors is Santorini, because Santorini happens to be one of the most beautiful islands around the world. We do have millions of tourists coming to Santorini, and to a certain extent this is great because they are getting exposed to the glories of the wines of Santorini. But then it's also sad because the touristic development is so fierce that someone has to struggle to support a vineyard in Santorini. I mean, because it's a very surreal place, low fertility soil, huge aridity, tiny amount of rainfall throughout the year, you can have a vineyard and you can have a hectare of vineyard and you might be lucky to get 4 or 5,000 euros as a revenue out of this hectare.
Yep.
And at the same time, you can turn this hectare into a hotel and you could get a revenue of 10,000 euros over a lousy weekend in May.
Yeah.
So it's the pressure is huge. And I will be delighted if my son eventually is able to drink wine from Santorini. The grape variety there, the main grape variety is Assyrtiko.
Yep.
Is what I call a very textural grape variety. Mm-hmm. So it's not very aromatic, huge minerality. It's one of these rare varieties where they can balance between high alcohol and high acidity. Usually Greek wines are low in acidity. You have to struggle to get a Greek wine above 13.5, and alcohol levels are important in Greece because we like to enjoy wine. We like to drink a second glass. It's not something that we just taste. But Santorini and Assyrtiko is one of these rare combinations where you can have an alcohol of 15% and then you get acidities that you can only compare with Mosel Riesling cabinets or something like this.
And do you find, I find Assyrtiko quite common. That's the white grape variety I think of when I'm thinking about Greece.
Yep.
And I've seen it around, but I haven't necessarily clocked that it comes from Santorini. Is it grown anywhere else in Greece?
Yes. In the last 15 years, we started planting Assyrtiko outside of Santorini, and we have great results. Maybe the style is less austere and possibly not as age-worthy, because even dry Santorinis can age for 15 years, no problem.
Okay.
In other places, we do have the amazing Assyrtiko personality, but maybe in a slightly softer, more enveloping style.
And the last white region we were talking about was Mantinea?
Mantinea is a funky one, because it's an appellation of white wines, but the main grape variety, which is called Moscofilero, is a pink skin grape variety.
Do they make rosé? They could make rosé.
They could make rosé, and there are some people now that they're making their wine, their whites, with a slightly, I wouldn't say pink tinge, I would say rather like a gris, what French people usually call gris de noir. And Mantinea, when you compare that with Nemea, is a testament to the great diversity of Greece. So,
because they're right beside each other.
Yeah, yeah. You could drive from Nemea to Mantinea in 20 minutes, and as the bird flies, is less than 10. And then you do have Mantinea, a fantastic plateau, 600-800 meters altitude, everything surrounded by mountains. You can be at Nemea and enjoying a very warm afternoon in August with 35 degrees, and then you can drive up to Mantinea, and in the night you would need the jacket.
Yep.
Also, going back to the coolness of climate, there are people harvesting Moscofilero even after the end of October, and Moscofileros are usually wines that are 12.5% alcohol with really high acidities. If you taste the Moscofilero, is very fresh, very aromatic, rose petally, because Moscofilero is probably linked to the Muscat family of varieties.
Yep.
But it is a wine that, as I said, if you taste this blind, you would think that is a wine of a Germanic freshness and elegance. However, it comes from a place that, by looking at the map, it comes in one of the warmest places in Europe. So this is not the case.
Excellent. I think that's everything we needed to cover. Is there anything you'd like to say?
Drink more Greek wine. It's fantastic. It's different. It's valid. We need your help.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Cheers, bud.